Hi there.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hello there.
Yo.
This is Bingsu.
This is Lucas.
This is Elena.
This is Sumin Lee.
This is Nitun here.
This is Sarush.
This is Sung Jeff.
This is Alison Gao.
This is Ryoko Takao.
This is Kate.
I am Guldan.
This is Catherine.
This is Gayatri.
This is Mia.
This is Amy from Busan, Korea.
This is Martin from Poland.
This is Mara from Iraq.
This is Rio from Korea.
This is Helen from Shenzhen, China.
This is Jui from South Korea.
Hi, this is Vivi from Lefkosha, Cyprus.
This is Jiregefe Serintuba from Senegal, West Africa.
This is Miso from South Korea.
From Tokyo, Japan.
From Bangladesh.
From Chile.
From Russia.
From Korea.
From India.
From Turkey.
And you're listening to
Everybody.
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 ESL.
Welcome to episode 100 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have another good episode for you today. We're going to talk about grammar and vocabulary and small talk and a lot more. You can subscribe to the Everybody ESL podcast at Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like Everybody ESL, leave it a good review so other people can find out about it too. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Now, before we get to episode 100, I would like to take a minute to thank everybody who has listened to the podcast, everybody who has sent in an introduction to the podcast, everybody who has subscribed or told a friend about the podcast or written me a note or asked a question. Thank you to everybody who has been a part of Everybody ESL. Okay, now let's get on with the show. For this historic episode's vocabulary list, I wanted to stick with the theme of big. Because this is episode number 100, that seems like kind of a big thing to me. So the vocabulary in this episode is all about bigness. It's all about great size. At first, I thought it would be a good idea to present these words in order of size, starting with the smaller end and ending with the bigger end. But then I realized that might not really work, because I don't know if all native speakers would agree on what order to put these words in. I might even change my mind tomorrow and decide that this word sounds a little bit bigger than that word, or that word sounds a little bit smaller. So instead, I'm just going to give you the list, and I'm not even going to bother defining these words, because really they all mean the same thing. They mean very, very big. So you can use these words to add some variety to your vocabulary. Here's the first word, giant. G-I-A-N-T. Giant can also be a noun, meaning a very large person, or maybe it's a kind of a monster that is like a very, very large person. The next word is gigantic. G-I-G-A-N-T-I-C. Gigantic. I'll bet you've heard this one before. Titanic. T-I-T-A-N-I-C. Of course, Titanic is the name of a famous boat and also the name of a famous movie about the famous boat. Here's the next one. Mammoth. M-A-M-M-O-T-H, mammoth. Mammoth is also the name of a very large prehistoric creature, kind of like a giant elephant. How about this one? Humongous. H-U-M-O-N-G-O-U-S. Humongous. Humongous always sounds like kind of a funny word to me. I don't think you will find the word humongous in technical writing or in newspaper articles. The next word on the list is colossal. C-O-L-O-S-S-A-L. Colossal. And I always think this next one is a good word. It just sounds interesting to me. Gargantuan. G-A-R-G-A-N-T-U-A-N. Gargantuan. And the last thing on our list of words that mean very, very big is immense. I-M-M-E-N-S-E. Immense. I think this is a good word to use when you are talking about things like outer space. To me, immense is a good word to describe the size of things in outer space or the distances between things in outer space. Very, very, very big distances. And that is this episode's vocabulary list, words that are good for describing things that are very, very, very big. The last grammar lesson we had on the podcast was part one in a series about count and non-count nouns. And in part one, we talked about the basic differences between count nouns and non-count nouns. Count nouns are names for things that feel like separate, independent things. They are things that we can count. One bicycle, two bicycles, three bicycles, and so on. And non-count nouns name things that are not separate units, like sand or water. We cannot count things like that. Okay, so that is the basic difference. And now in part two, I want to go to the next step. Not just what is the difference, but why do we care? Why do you need to know that some nouns are called count nouns and some other nouns are called non-count nouns? Who cares? Why is this difference important? There is one important thing that comes up all the time in English. It comes up in most sentences that you will create and most sentences that you will hear. Here is what I think is the most important difference between count nouns and non-count nouns. Singular count nouns almost never appear all by themselves. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. A singular count noun, in other words, there's only one of them, one bike, one tree, one telephone, one pumpkin, almost never appears all by itself. Let me give you an example, and I think it will be easy for me to explain what I'm talking about. Here is a sentence that does not work in English. When I came home, I saw that there was apple on the table. When I came home, I saw that there was apple on the table. Why does that sentence not work? Why does it sound strange? It sounds strange because apple is a count noun, and in this sentence, there's just one, there's only one apple, but that word apple appears by itself, just apple. When I came home, I saw there was apple on the table. What do I need to do to make that sentence okay? What do I need to add to the word apple? I need to add a word like an article, like a or the, or I can add a possessive, like my or your or John's, or I need to add a demonstrative, like this or that. That singular count noun, apple in this case, needs to have one of those other words with it at all times, or else it just sounds strange. It sounds lonely. That singular count noun has to have one of those other words with it. So I can say, when I got home, I saw there was an apple on the table. That sounds fine. When I got home, I saw there was my apple on the table. Now, maybe that's a strange situation that I have my special apple, but grammatically, that sentence works. When I got home, I saw that apple on the table. Almost every time you have a singular count noun, you need to have an article, like a or the, or a possessive, my, your, his, her, or a demonstrative, this, that. There might be a few other kinds of words that are also okay there, but the important thing is, singular count nouns do not like to be all by themselves. Let me give you another few examples of sentences that just don't work because they involve singular count nouns all by themselves. He gave his son bike for his birthday. He gave his son bike for his birthday. Well, there we have bike, a singular count noun, all by itself. We need to say something like, he gave his son a bike for his birthday, or he gave his son this bike for his birthday. Without that other word, the sentence just sounds strange. It sounds like it's missing something. Native speakers might not even know exactly why it sounds weird, but it will sound weird to native speakers. One more example. Yesterday for lunch, I ate delicious sandwich. Now, I understand that sentence completely, but it is strange because that singular count noun, sandwich, does not have an article with it, or a possessive, or a demonstrative. It does have an adjective, delicious, but that's not good enough. It needs to have an article, or a possessive, or a demonstrative. Yesterday for lunch, I ate delicious sandwich. Nope, that doesn't work. Yesterday for lunch, I ate a delicious sandwich. Suddenly, the sentence is perfect. That rescues the sentence, just adding that one little word. You should know, if you don't already know, that non-native English speakers make this kind of mistake often because singular count nouns are very common. We often make sentences with singular count nouns. And if you want your English to sound natural, you will make sure that you never have singular count nouns all by themselves, with no article, and no possessive, and no demonstrative. They need to have one of those things with them, or they will just be lonely and unhappy, and your sentence will not work. Well, that's part two in our series about count and non-count nouns, and part three will come in a later episode. Today's small talk topic or social situation is this. You are out somewhere in public and you have something big and bulky with you, something that's not very easy for you to carry around and take from one place to another. Maybe it's a stroller, or maybe it is a big suitcase, or maybe it's a bag of groceries. What do you do if you need to get up from your table or move from the place where you are and go someplace else for a moment and then come back, and you don't want to bring your big heavy bag or big heavy suitcase with you, what do you do? Well, if you feel comfortable, you can ask somebody to watch your bag for you, or you can at least ask them if they will watch your bag for you. How do you ask somebody to do that? It's very simple. If you feel comfortable about this, all you need to do is say, excuse me, because remember, whenever we start a conversation with a stranger, we start with excuse me. Excuse me, would you keep an eye on my bag? Excuse me, would you keep an eye on my bike? Excuse me, would you keep an eye on my suitcase? That, I think, is the most basic way of asking someone to do this for you. You say, could you or would you keep an eye on my thing? Would you or could you keep an eye on my suitcase? Could you keep an eye on my bag? That's really all you need to do. Now, if you want to make this sound even more polite, you could say, excuse me, would you be able to keep an eye on my bag? Would you be able to keep an eye on my bike? Or you could just say, could you watch my bag? Could you watch my suitcase? I'll be right back. Could you watch my bag for me? All of these are very appropriate and polite ways of asking somebody to watch your things while you step away for a moment. So if you are in this situation and you feel comfortable asking a stranger for this kind of help, now you know just how to do it. And now it's time for an extra special joke of the week. What makes it so special? Well, it comes in episode number 100. Other than that, there won't be anything special about this joke. In fact, I think this joke is just as bad as all of the other jokes that we have had on the joke of the week. Here is the very special, very not good, episode 100 joke of the week. Why did the person spread peanut butter on the street? Why did the person spread peanut butter on the street? Do you give up? Here's the answer. Why did the person spread peanut butter on the street in case there was a traffic jam? In case there was a traffic jam. No, the answer is not funny, even when I say it twice. Well, why is this a joke? Why is this supposed to be funny? It's because the word jam has two different meanings. The first meaning is that spread made out of fruit, like grape jam or strawberry jam, and often people eat jam with peanut butter. They have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a peanut butter and jam sandwich, same thing. The other meaning of jam is something like a big, inconvenient thing, or a situation where everything is blocked and nothing can move, like a traffic jam. A traffic jam is called that because there are too many cars on the street and nothing can move. The street is blocked with cars, and we call that a traffic jam. Why did the person spread peanut butter on the street? In case there was a traffic jam. It's quiz time, and here's what that means. I have four sentences, and I am going to read each one at a fast, natural, conversational speed, and I want you to see how much you can understand. If you want to go back and listen to these sentences over and over and over to try to catch every word, that's fine. Listen to them as many times as you like. After I read them at this fast speed, I'm going to read them again at a much slower speed, and I will explain any interesting or unusual grammar or vocabulary that might come up. Well, let's see how you do. Here is sentence number one. Excuse me, could you keep an eye on my suitcase for a moment? Excuse me, could you keep an eye on my suitcase for a moment? Sentence number two. Yesterday, I saw the most gigantic bug in the bathroom. Yesterday, I saw the most gigantic bug in the bathroom. Sentence number three. My friend bought six sandwiches for lunch today. My friend bought six sandwiches for lunch today. Sentence number four. She was stuck in a traffic jam for almost 2 hours. She was stuck in a traffic jam for almost 2 hours. Okay, well, how was that? How was it when I read those sentences that quickly? Was it difficult to understand every word that I said? Well, I think it will be much easier for you to understand when I read them much more slowly. starting with sentence number one. Excuse me, could you keep an eye on my suitcase for a moment? Excuse me, could you keep an eye on my suitcase for a moment? Sentence number two. Yesterday, I saw the most gigantic bug in the bathroom. Yesterday, I saw the most gigantic bug in the bathroom. Now, gigantic was one of our special vocabulary words this episode, and that is spelled G-I-G-A-N-T-I-C, gigantic. Yesterday, I saw the most gigantic bug in the bathroom. Sentence number three. My friend bought 6 sandwiches for lunch today. My friend bought 6 sandwiches for lunch today. Now there you can see a great example of a count noun. 6 sandwiches. Sandwich is a noun that we can count. We can have 1 sandwich, or 2, or 3, or 4, 5, or 6 sandwiches, or even more. And sentence number 4. She was stuck in a traffic jam for almost 2 hours. She was stuck in a traffic jam for almost 2 hours. Okay, well, that is this episode's listening quiz. How did you do? And that is the end of episode 100 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about English, or if you have any comments or suggestions for me about the show, or if you would like to record an introduction that I can use at the beginning of future episodes, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.